Okay, Ramban on Parshas Vayikra. So the Ramban has an introduction to Sefer Vayikra, and he explains that the last Sefer of Shmos was the Sefer of Golos and Geula, and at the end of Shmos, we return to our lofty level. We have the Mishkan, and the Shechina rests in Klal Yisrael through the Mishkan. So Parshas Vayikra discusses the Karbanos, and the purpose of that is so that the Karbanos should be a kapara for us, so that this way our avonos do not cause us to go back to Siluk Shechina. Right, at the beginning of Shmos, we were in Golos. There's no Shechina with us at the end. Like the Ramban says, Alamalos Avosim Yeshuvu, we have the Shechina Shur and Klai Yisrael again. So Sefer Vayikra is the way to keep that going. We have the Karbanos, which are a kapara on our Averos, so that the Shechina remains with Klai Yisrael. And then he just explains how everything else that you find in Vayikra, non-Karbanos related, gets slept in. A lot of them have to do with Tumah. Even Arayos is called Tumah. And all of those cause the Shechina to go away. Somebody walks into the Beis HaMikdash when they're Tummy. And any kind of Tumah causes Siluk Shechina, Arayos, certainly. And that causes the Shechina to go away. So all that is thrown into Vayikra that way. We have the Moed Hashem, the Shabbos, that all is because of carbon. So things get brought in Agav, but the gist is we want Kedusha in Klal Yisrael so that the Shechina stays, and that's how this follows the previous Sefer. Okay, so then we start, the first carbon is the carbon Ola, and Rashi brings from the Lashon Takrivu that you could have multiple people bringing the same Ola. You could have a Shutfus of people bringing an Ola. And Karban Chem is that it is possible to have a Karban Ola as a Nidvas Tzibur, an Adava of, it's a communal Karban. And how is that? That's if it's the Ola of Kitzam Mizbeach, which is any leftover from the Shkalim they collected at the beginning of the year in Adar, right? So they the extra leftovers, they use that for an Ola. It's called Kitz HaMizbeach, like the dessert of the Mizbeach, whatever. So that's a Nidvas Tzibur. So it sounds like from Rashi that the only way you're going to have a Nidava of a Tzibur is from that leftover stuff, the Kitz HaMizbeach. So the Ramban, he disagrees with that and says that that's not true. You can have a Nidava of the Tzibur as long as more than 50% of the Tzibur donated it to it. In other words, if you asked Rashi, it sounds like, let's say 51% of Klal Yisrael get together and donate a Nidvas Ola. What is that? That would be considered Nidvas HaShutfin, according to Rashi, because the only time you can have a Nidvas Tzibur, which has different halachos, is if it's Kitz HaMizbeach. But the Ramban says, knows that it's not true, that the Ikar is that if Rov Yisrael get together to offer an Ola, so then that's called a Nidvas Tzibur. It has different nafkaminas, like you don't do smicha on a Karban Tzibur, on the Ola Tzibur, whereas you would on one of Shutfin. Okay, then it says, it'll be a kapara on the person when they bring a Ola. And Rashi, who's bringing a medrash from the Torah's Kohanim, says, what is it meratza on exactly? What does a Karban Ola cause ritzoy to Hashem for? So if it's on, Rashi brings Chayvei Krisus, Amisus Beistin, so Hari Onshan Omer, so that the onus for that is said, this can't be a kapara for that, must be it's an Olas Meratza on an Asay, and a Lavshin Nitaklase. That's what Rashi brings from the Torah's Kohanim. So the Ramban says, what do you mean, V'chiheichan Onshan Omer? In other words, we have, if someone does something that's Chayev Karis, so if they do it by accident, they bring a carbon. They do it on purpose. Yes, they don't get a carbon, they get killed. Okay, so all the stuff that Rashi mentions, Misa B'dei Shemayim, for example, how do you know that the Ola is a kapara on Seba, Lavshanitakla, say, he brings Shchaivi Misa B'dei Shemayim or Malkus, right? So there's no carbon chatas for that. So maybe the carbon Ola could be a kapara for someone who does those by accident, a chayvi malchus. Maybe if you do that pshogig, you bring a carbonola. How do we know that that's not true? Basically, anything that you would be chayv chatas on your chayv chatas, something, some averish yeshba karis, they have a chayv chatas, and then you would have, so if you do it pshogig, you have a chayv chatas. So anything, any other avera where you don't know of that a chatas helps, so maybe any other avera you do b'shogeg, you need to bring a carbonola for. How do we know that's not true? That's his question on the Torah's Kohanim. So he says, perhaps because where you do have a chiyuv death, let's say, and let's say there's a chiyuv karis and a chatas for shogeg. So the Torah says that explicitly. So chayvi misus beistin, chayvi krisos. It says explicitly what they get bemezid and what they get if they do it b'shogeg. But by chayvi misus b'dei shamayim, it says what happens to them if they do it bemezid. That they get, let's say, Chayvi Malkus would get Malkus, right? But it doesn't say any Onesh B'Shogeg. The fact that it isn't mentioned must mean that they don't need any carbon for Shogeg. Any carbon. In other words, it would have said it explicitly. That's basically the gist. Since we find by Chayvi Misos, based in a Chayvi Krisos, it tells you what you get for Mezid and for Shogeg, you must bring a Chatas. The fact that it doesn't say that for Chayvi Misos, based in, we're not going to assume that this Ola is for that. It must be that doing an Avera, we're talking about a real eating treif, let's say, that gets Malkus, it must be doing that Bishogig, meaning that, let's say, you ate it, you knew you were eating treif, but you had no idea you're not allowed to eat treif, or whatever it is, or if you forgot you're not allowed to eat treif, any kind of Shogig, it must, since the Torah doesn't say to bring a carbon explicitly, it must be, I'm going to quote you the Lashon, because it's very important, it must be that there's no, Ramban says, no Nesius Chet if you do it Bishogig, ve'ein Srichen Ritzui Klal. You got that? If you do an Avera B'Shogeg, an Itzu D'Araisa, must be it doesn't need a Ritzui Klal. Now that's a little surprising, to say if you do an Itzu D'Araisa B'Shogeg. You know, we understand that you need a Karban Chatas for something as serious as a Chiyuv Karis. But to say if you do, I mean, but you should see from that doing an Avera B'Shogeg is not no big deal. So why it just seems surprising to say that by a regular Losa, say, let's say by eating non-kosher, you wouldn't need any, even Bishogig, you wouldn't need any Ritzui Klal. So some of the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't mean you don't need any Ritzui. It means you don't need Ritzui Karban. Must mean you don't need any Karban to help you get forgiven. But you still need to ask, you still need to tap into Hashem and do tshuva for an Avera Bishogig. It is interesting, it's kind of famous, this in the Sivas, that says that for an Isser Derabanan, it actually is, there's no Nisiyas Chet at all, like Mutter. Meaning, if someone does an Avera Derabanan B'Shogeg, it counts as Mutter. There's no, however you want to say it, Derabanan never said their thing by that case. Whatever the case is, there's a Nesivas that says that an Issa Derabanan done B'Shogeg is not an Avera at all. But anyway, whether we Paschal like that or not, I don't know. Hopefully we do. But for an Avera D'Araisa, Paschal says that there is a problem, there is some Avera doing it B'Shogeg. So when he says in Srichan Ritzui Klal, he probably doesn't mean exactly, means Ritzui Karban. Okay. Then we have this other part of the same Ramban, that this is really Kabbalistic, kind of, that but it's a theme that you come again and again and again with the Shem Hashem versus Elohim, that you don't find Berkaban, you only find Berkaban as the Shem HaMiyuchad, meaning Yud Kei Vav Kei. So no one should make any mistakes about what a carbon is. So what he means by that is, of course, that when you offer carbonos, you can't offer, Rabban has said many, many times, that the Shem Elohim could refer to a malach or a heavenly power. That's like, again, why the Rabban told us, we say Kel Elyon in davening, in Shemona Esrei. Kel Elyon means there's Elohim, and then there's above Elohim, because a malach could be referred to as Elohim. Hashem is above that all, Kel Elyon. But the word Elohim can refer to a malach, and you cannot offer a karban to a malach. That would be very, very bad. You can only offer karbanos to Hashem. So that's why you don't find it in karbanos, you only find the lashon of the Shem HaMiyuchad. Going more into it than that. I'm not a Kabbalist, but at that part, he says. Okay, and also, just also in a similar idea, we know when you bring karbanos, shchitasan batzafon, right, you shechtan in the north, he hints that here also that he discussed it because he always says the midas adin and destruction and all that comes from the north, something like that. So that's why shchita, which is destruction, of when you shech the karmans, but tzafon, because when you do shchita, because the destruction comes from the tzafon. Okay, then regarding to menachos, in Perek Beis, it says Rashi brings that yitzika ublila ksherim bazar. So adding the oil and mixing it with the flour, you don't need a kohen for. And mikamitza ve'elach mitzvah kahuna. That from kamitza is the part where you stick your finger in that dough mixture, and you take out three fingers worth of that mixture and put it on the mizbeach, either the flour or whatever, the flour and the oil, whatever. You put that on the mizbeach. And that's kmitza, sticking your three fingers in there and bringing out that amount of the mincha. That's the komets brought on the mizbeach, that's burnt. Okay, that part has to be done by a kohen. But it sounds like from those words, mikmitza ve'elach is mitzvahs kahuna, it sounds like everything beforehand can be done by a non-kohen. And the Ramban just points out that's not true. It doesn't mean that, because hagasha, bringing it, the hagasha where you bring the mincha to the mizbeach, go right up against that corner there, that has to be done by a kohen too. So it just means from kmitza and on, all has to be by a kohen, and the stuff mentioned in the pasuk beforehand does not have to be done by a kohen. But there are things in between that have to be done by a kohen, and that is the hagasha. Okay, pasuk also tells us that we don't do the menachos can't be chametz. Just as a total interesting aside, in case you didn't know, it's always one of these things. All menachos can't be chametz except for two, which is the ten loaves that come with the todah and the shtei alechem on shavuos. So the Lechem Apanim, this is totally nothing to do with Ramban, just a public information announcement. The Lechem Apanim, which everybody thinks of, they're matzah. I mean, they're not matzah like Ashkenazi matzah, you know, where it's nice and thin and whatever, and crispy. It looked like bread, but it was matzah. Anyway, all karbonos can't be chametz, and they can't have any, so they can't have seor, they can't have dash, can't have any thing to make them rise, or they can't have seor, let's just be accurate, can't have sourdough, and they can't have honey. Why not? What's wrong with that? So, the Ramban brings from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim that perhaps the correct answer is, the Ramban actually agreeing with the Mor Nevuchim, that perhaps this is the reason that the Goyim, the people who worship Avodah Zarah, so they loved using that. And therefore anything, if Ovdei Avodah Zarah use it, then we don't want it. And the Ramban says that's like Matzeva, right? There used to be, Hashem liked the concept of Matzeva, using a mizbeach of one stone because the Avos did it, but then when the Ovdei Avodah Zarah did it, then it becomes something we can't do anymore. So perhaps the Ramban says perhaps that is the reason we don't use chametz and dvash, because it was used by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the exact inverse is true by salt, that Ovdei Avodah Zarah did not use salt, so therefore we do use salt. Okay. Also, he suggests perhaps that the reason we use salt in a mincha is because it doesn't taste good without it. You don't want bland stuff. Hakriveu nalef hechasecha, right? You wouldn't offer that as a carbon if it doesn't taste good. You want it to taste good, so you have add salt for that. Okay, but this whole thing of melech, generally, l'tashbis melech b'chis elokecha, that there's a bris to the melech, so Rashi brings that the bris is krusa la melech. We have this bris to salt. Misheshes me brayshes shehuftechu mayim tachton l'kar b'mizbeach b'melech v'nitzach ha'mayim. That there was this bris Rashi brings from the time of misheshes me brayshes that the mayim tachtonim would be brought on the mizbeach via melech. Okay, that's a medrash. But the Rabban just says melech is more than just water. Melech is really a combination, right? Because we're talking about sea salt here. So sea salt is really water, but inside it is salt. So you have a mixture of mayim and esh, kind of. You have the salt, which is destructive, and you have the water, which makes things grow. So that combo has a combination, has the good and the bad, midas harachamim, midas adin, all in that salt. And salt itself can make things last long, right? And they make things taste good, or they can destroy things. So that salt has that dual thing of midas adin and midas harachamim together. So that's a bris with the melech, and it sounds like that's a bris that's put on karbanos, because it has that karbanos have that same effect. They can bring the world, be mekayim the world, and destroy the world if they don't listen. And later on in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes, it mentions if you bring a carbon from Tzon, and it says, V'yikriv mizevach hashlamim mishel Hashem chelbo ha'aliyah tamima. You bring the chelev of the tail. So the Ramban here is just trying to disprove the Karoim. And the Karoim understand that the word chelev is any part of the animal that's brought as a carbon, meaning brought on the Mizbeach. So the Ramban says that that's not true. Chelev is the part of the fat of the animal that is not part of it that's separate, like it comes in its own membrane. Chalav fat is the kind of fat that comes separate. It's not like the fatty part of your meat. That's shumen. Chalav is separate fat that's enclosed in its own membrane. That's the kind of fat that is that we say when we say chalav, that's you're not allowed to eat. That's the chalav that is separate from the basar. When we say shumen, shumen is the kind of fat that is attached to the basar. When you have a nice fatty piece of meat, that's shumen. Chalav is separate. It's in its own thing. That's what the Ramban says, and it's a very long Ramban just like proving this, because this is a example of something where the Karoim brought a raya from here that you say, you see, it's not true, because the tail, it's called chalav, and that's not separate fat, so you're not allowed to eat it, because it's brought as a karban. And the Ramban says, no, this use of the word chalav is not the regular use of the word chalav, and chalav refers to what he said, which is separate fat. And when the pasuk uses it here, it just means like the best, because chalav can sometimes mean the best. Okay, then we have in Perek Dalet, pasuk Beis, Nefesh Kisechata Mishkagav. You have a soul that sins Bishogig. So what's with the Nefesh? So the Ramban says the Machshava is in the Nefesh. It's the Nefesh that is a Shogig, so that's why he calls it here Nefesh. The Machshava is in the Nefesh. And then the Karbanos are a takana for this nefesh, because the nefesh is impinged by the avera, which is just a good Musar Shmuz. I'll read you his words. That when a person does an avera, their nefesh has a mum in it now, permanent mum, doesn't go away on its own. The person does an avera. Every avera, it hurts their nefesh, makes a mum in their nefesh. The person cannot be mekabel Hashem unless they can become clear of all chait. So that's pretty high. It's actually very scary. It means that people, they go to Gehenna is to cleanse people. Every avera causes a damage to the soul. Everyone must be cleaned. Okay, so, and he also mentions that by the Kohen Mashiach, the Chatas of the Kohen Mashiach, it does not say, V'chiper lo v'nislach lo, like it says by a regular Korban Chatas of a Shogeg. And he says, perhaps because that the Kohen of Mashiach, meaning the Kohen Gadol, is such on an elevated level, if he does something so terrible as a Chi of Chatas, so he doesn't even get full kapar even after bringing a Shogeg, after bringing a Korban Chatas, rather. He has to daven more and do more tshuva to get a full kapara because of his lofty level, which is very interesting. Okay, later on in the parasha, we talk about another type of carbon you bring, which is a carbon olav yored, which is similar, but lower level if a person can't afford, similar to a chatas, but lower in the sense that if they can't afford the top carbon, they can pay a lesser amount. So the Ramban says the reason why the Torah is lighter with bringing this carbon olav yored for certain averus is because the averus are not as bad. So in other words, someone who walks into the Beis HaMikdash and the tummy, they were osek b'mitzvah, they were trying to do a mitzvah, and they goofed. They were tummy. So for such a person, since they were osek b'mitzvah, they get a lesser carbon to bring. And he says, and people who shechay v'shvuas, so that's also not a carbon. That's also not a avera sheish b'karis. B'kitzur, the avera is lighter, so they bring a lighter carbon. Then just finally, asham. Also, he wants to know why is a chatas called a chatas and an asham called an asham. So it's just an interesting thing. Chatas means that you went off. You went off the path. That's what the word chatas means. You went off, as opposed to asham. Sounds just like almost like English. Ashamed. It means you did an avera. You sinned, or worse, that the person should become shamem, should become destroyed because of the avera. So, because ashams are typically right, ashams typically are done for for an avera that someone does b'mezid. A chatas is just person went off. That's chatas. Can we say lachti achti, something is to go off. So that's what the Ramban says, it's a netiyah min aderech. You went off the path, that's a chatas, that's a lower level thing, as opposed to the word asham, which is someone did something wrong, like asham gzelos, asham shechah harufa. Those are things, averus, a person did, b'mezid. Now there are some exceptions, like asham me'ilos is for someone who did me'ila by accident. Me'ila is shogeg. And there it's called an asham because, he says, just because it's relevant to karbonos, so it's a bigger avera. Using hektish because of the seriousness of the karbon, seriousness of stealing from hektish, or using hektish. He says, a mitzvah, you have an asham mitzvah. He says, that's because a mitzvah is considered like a dead person. And the biggest kanish, asham toli, right? That's that's exactly like a chatas. Someone who knows they're a mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, they bring a chatas, which we're saying is just, you know, going off. So if someone who's not even sure they did that, they're not even sure if they ate something that's a chiyuv. Let's say they're not sure they ate something that's a chiyuv karis. They're not sure they ate chaylev. So they're worse. They're called asham toloi. If someone's not sure, if they had two pieces of meat in front of them and they ate one and they don't know if that was the one that was a chiyuv karis, so they bring an asham toloi until they find out. So why is that called like a bigger avera that has the term asham? If they knew they ate the wrong one, they'd bring a chatas. If they're not sure, they bring an asham. So you find a similar chumrah in that they cost more. An asham tali costs 12 times the amount of the minimum amount for a chatas. An asham is 12 times as expensive. A chatas is a danka, which is a sixth of a dinar, and an asham is 2 slayim. So it's much, much more expensive. So why are we more machmir by a suffik? And the reason is to tell the person exactly, because people think if they're not sure they did anything wrong, they think they must have done nothing wrong. And they don't feel bad about it at all. So you want to tell this person, number one, you better bring a karbon. Meaning if someone who's in the status of needing an asham tali better bring one, because it's serious. And they're not off the hook. They need to bring an asham tali in the meantime, or else they're shamem, whatever, they're in trouble. And also, again, because in general people don't feel so bad about suffix, that's why we're more machmer in general by a suffix, because otherwise people don't feel bad. So they want them to know that, no, even though it's a suffix, the person needs to take it seriously, and it is something they need to do tshuva for, and to bring their carpet.